The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Bill Gormley. Bill is the president of the Gormley Group, LLC. I think I got that right. Right, Bill? And also, he is the chairman of the board of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger. Always look forward to it.
Yeah, well, this is like our every quarter we do our sort of update on what's going on out there in the marketplace and at the coalition. And I think, this time I want to start by just asking you about the coalition's fall conference and 35th anniversary celebration.
Yeah, I think it's great that here we are, we collectively and those in the who've served before us, right. 35 years.
Larry and Paul, right?
Yeah. It's a great tribute, and it speaks well of the coalition, its members, and its interests in trying to address common sense in government procurement. And I think we all know there still needs to be a lot of common sense put in government procurement. So looking for another 35 years at least.
And it'll take at least another 4 or 5 years, right? The way things are going. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about the other day, like 35 years ago, 1979, we had the Iranian hostage crisis going on. Yeah, I just heard the thing on the radio the other day about that was when John Lennon was shot and killed.
Wow.
I mean, things you forget about. I was in college. That's how old I am. I start my sophomore year at Bowdoin College. So it's a pretty remarkable thing. And I'm so glad to be a part of it. I've been here 4 years and I'm just feel fortunate to be able to, celebrate this 35th anniversary with the procurement community and all the coalition members. And, with regard to that, this year we are doing a celebration dinner, and we're going to be providing our excellence and partnership honors to various, Mythbusters Award, Best Veteran Hiring Program. We have a number of awards. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, yeah, I think we're not going to trade accolades here, okay?
Sure. Okay. I'm done now. Okay.
Thank you. We're good. So I think that the staff has put together a very thoughtful agenda. The evening for the awards is an annual recognition that contracting, in particular with the contracting folks, there's several categories, but the contracting is always near and dear to my heart. And I think it's gives them an opportunity to be recognized. Unfortunately, in the past, a lot of folks have been recognized in contracting and end up getting promoted and leave the agency or something that they're
right,
at. It's kind of a catch-22 here. But I think the importance here is the individual and the recognition that that individual has, the contributions that they had made.
Or organization. So,
as well. So I think we have for the evening before the training conference, to Roger's earlier mention of the, there's a relationship that the coalition and hats off to Roger and his folks for setting it up with Steve Schooner and George Washington University for a foundation for training offering for any veterans who are qualified that are interested in pursuing government acquisition education. And I don't know, you can talk a little bit more about that if you'd like, Roger.
Sure. Hey, we're turning this around. You're interviewing me. I like that. Maybe I can have a guest host here. In honor of the 35th anniversary, the coalition's worked with the George Washington University to establish a scholarship/fellowship fund to support a qualified veteran who is pursuing either a law degree or a master's degree with a concentration in U.S. government procurement. It sort of brings together the two things you mentioned, common sense and government procurement, and maybe it's another 35 years, but one of the, fundamental common sense approaches to federal procurement is to ensure, to support the professional development of the acquisition workforce. And we saw this as an opportunity to do just that. And also the other sort of labor of love of the coalition is supporting our veterans, especially as they transition to the civilian workforce. And we sort of, this has the best of both worlds. We get to combine, you know, acquisition excellence, common sense in acquisition, with supporting veterans by creating this fellowship. And you know, we're looking forward to a silent auction at the 35th anniversary celebration dinner, that where we'll be, when we've had a number of items donated from many of our member companies to that can be auctioned off, and all the net proceeds of the silent auction will be going directly to the scholarship fund. And this builds on, and I know we've talked about it before, the charity golf tournament that we do each year that's named for Joseph Caggiano, who was a board member of the coalition who tragically passed away 2 years ago. You know, this year we had a phenomenal turnout, and all the proceeds there were going towards funding the scholarship, and we raised over $25,000 just at that golf tournament alone to go to help support veterans in their educational pursuit and government procurement.
Well, I think in regards to the, I know we're talking about acquisition, government contracting, and so forth, but we've also, you know, brought into play here the recognition of veterans and the coalition's kind of outreach in this area. So, you know, I recently invited Bob McDonald, Secretary of VA, so I'm looking forward to hearing from his office. Hopefully he can attend with the recognition that there's a lot of veteran support. There will be veterans, you know, at the conference and so forth. I think it would be a great time for the Secretary to having been there for, although still a short period of time, but he's laid a 90-day plan out. I think it would be a great opportunity for industry to hear from the Secretary. And I'm reaching out to his scheduler to see if we can't get that acceptance, and that would be a great moment for industry and other members of the federal government to be able to hear the Secretary's, you know, commitment and his vision. And yes, there is a lot of work to be done at VA, not only in acquisition, but a lot of areas. There's been a lot of mention in the press in regards to contracting lately, as I'm sure a lot of our listeners know. And Jan Fry, who is a veteran of acquisition, both from a DOD and went to VA, and listening and reading the IG report, apparently went through a significant pressure internally over the past couple of years or year and a half, and has been identified as not the person that needed to be have this kind of pressure. And I guess the employee's been let go at VA. And you know, these are unfortunate stories, but I think important to get out. And so corrections can be made. And in this case, the community collectively can move forward. And industry understands what the government's looking for at the end of the day. A fair and reasonable price, getting delivered what they bought, and so forth. So I think this takes one of the dark clouds and moves the dark cloud away from VA, and hopefully can put some sunshine in there and brighten it up a little bit and get this whole matter behind them.
Yeah, and along those lines, we also have one of our guest speaker for the night, in addition to the Secretary, is a Marine Corps veteran, Corey Gitter. He is a Marine sharpshooter, and he served in Afghanistan. And unfortunately was injured severely, while on patrol, and actually spent I think close to 3 years in Walter Reed Hospital in rehabilitation, recovering. And now he's a success story. He's what we want to replicate. On behalf of all our veterans, it's what our scholarship's all about. Now he owns his own company that does government contract work. He likes to talk about the veteran's edge, and he and Carl Salzano, former senior executive at Booz Allen Hamilton, will be having a conversation about Corey's experiences and, you know, how he transitioned and the challenges he overcame, as he recovered from his severe injuries. So
yeah, I think kind of a interesting note on Corey is, as a young man, he's in his 20s, and he holds, you mentioned earlier, as a sharpshooter, he holds the record, whatever. I'm not sure what the record means, but he holds the record for Marine sharpshooters as far as accuracy or something. So the history of the United States Marine Corps, he is the top marksman, if you want to call it that, or however they grade it. So that's a pretty, there's a lot of folks before him, pretty significant accomplishment on his part. So I think I'm going to be part of that. I'll probably be mixing it up with Carl and Corey for a while, so I'll have some fun here as well. And it should be that way. It's kind of a celebration, but it's also an opportunity for the coalition members to and other folks within government who are going to be at the conference and to be at the event that evening to really have an opportunity to engage with the veteran side and understand a little bit more. And I think it gives everyone a great opportunity. Is, you know, we hear often that, you know, freedom isn't free. And so this is a good example of some of the consequences that occur that we take for granted when we get up and do our normal things every day. And it's pretty predictable versus, what this young man and others have also experienced. So it'll be a great, great event. Encourage all the listeners I'm not asking you to pull over yet, but I mean, I would like to see it's going to be a great time. Ronald Reagan Building is a great location. Everybody knows where it is. We don't need to get into that, but November 5th that evening. So, and then the conference is on the 6th.
Right. Well, thanks, Bill. And right now we do have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll be talking more to Bill Gormley. Bill is the president of the Gormley Group and the chairman of the board of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about our other event, our fall conference, which is on November 6th, the day after our celebration dinner. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. Bill is the president of the Gormley Group, and he is also the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement's Board of Directors. And Bill, I mentioned our fall conference, and I wanted to give you a little bit of opportunity to talk about the Coalition's fall conference, which is on November 6th. It's at the JW Marriott in downtown Washington, D.C., and it looks like it's a pretty darn good lineup. I know we've been working on it pretty darn hard.
Well, you know, as anybody's ever put an event on, whether it goes from a birthday party to a commercial event, you know, there's always something's going to happen, but you and your staff have done a great job of getting some key folks here. You know, you have obviously Shea Assad, you have DOD being well represented. You're talking on different subjects, cybersecurity, a game changer. You got acquisition reform here. You have OFPP, Matt Bloom, Jeff Kosis,
Steve Schooner.
Schooner is going to be the moderator. So, you know, that's going to be showtime right there.
Oh, absolutely.
Very good. All of them will engage quickly. And, you know, your DOD acquisition update, an update on government-wide IT acquisitions. And, you know, Kay Ely will be a big part of that. Joanne Witek is from Suit. Strategic sourcing, something that we hear more and more frequently. Maybe we can talk a little bit more on that as we get through this right here and get into maybe some other meat and potatoes of contracting, Roger. And coming soon, the federal market, business analysis, electronic platform, social media, the global supply system update. You know, they have all the center directors are going to be represented. And I think from an industry standpoint, it's a great opportunity because these people don't travel as much as they used to for reasons we're aware of. So this is a good event for people to come to and get some face time and hear directly from the leadership. And then you have, users of government-wide vehicles. You have DHS and GSA there, and OASIS will be there, Jim Galloney and Tiffany Hickson out of Auburn. So, yeah, you all have done a great job. So I don't know who signed up since their first part of today's show, but yeah, definitely we need people to go there to get yourself get ready for the next quarter. Let's put it that way. I guess this is Q1 government and potentially Q4 commercial. So
right.
there's a Q in our life no matter where we are. So we always need to be prepared for the future. I think the training this training event gives you some very good opportunity for insight and dialogue with your government customers. And or your business partners, so to speak, with GSA and the other agencies.
Yeah, I'm just going to give one sort of thought. This is really all about, you know, looking at where the market is going, you know, both government and industry are getting an opportunity to have a conversation about, you know, the pressure points in the system, you know, where improvements can be made, how to get better value, you know, what is the right price kind of thing. And so this is, we are really looking forward to it. We have a great lineup, as you mentioned.
It's a great acquisition geek week.
Oh, absolutely.
And so for people who want to move forward and demonstrate your interest further in support of the coalition, you can go on the internet and look under the Coalition for Government Procurement, or go under thecgp.org, and you'll see that, and you'll see the event there, and look forward to seeing quite a few people come. And I think you're already getting some good responses. So, we don't want to make the show a total promo, but I think it's worth the attention, because at the end of the day, you know, the listeners, you know, we can talk about policy, we can talk about relationships, we can talk about the different aspects of business and government. But at the end of the day, we know that it's about selling and about, you know, businesses being successful and adjusting what they need to do in order to meet the customer's needs. And I think that kind of the wrap up this whole thing, I think the coalition's done a good job in capsulizing a lot of the ingredients here that will have companies have a successful forthcoming year.
So, well, thanks, Bill. I appreciate it. So now let's get geeky. Okay. So, you know, I guess one of the things
must be an acronym in there. I got to figure it out.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out. Well, one of the things I've been, you know, sort of talking about a little bit, and I get your thoughts on it, is it seems to me what the government needs to be thinking about from one perspective is making it easier to compete for government requirements. And it seems like what we've seen over the last few years is just an additional layering on of whether it's new reporting requirements or new compliance requirements that, you know, and an assessment of the cost benefit ratio of those requirements versus access to commercial innovation, and just making it easier for commercial firms to enter the federal market, to reduce those barriers of entry, to get the innovation that, you know, folks in the executive branch are talking about all the time. How do we access innovation? It's a fundamental sort of strategic look at how to make it easier to compete for all amongst all companies.
Yeah, I think we all understand, for those that are in the federal market, that, you know, selling to the government, while in many cases we'll talk about commercial practices and so forth, there are, you know, some unique areas that they're not going to change. It is taxpayer money. The government's not going to go out of business. So the government's a big player within a total market. I think there has, for some reason, been a disconnect. And it's not a matter of directing that disconnect on any administration or any person. It's just overall, there's been an eroding of the relationship. And I think and that's hard to bring it back for you know, bad relationships to become good relationships by nature. It boils down to human beings. So policy isn't going to correct everything. And normally it doesn't anyway. And I think the reaction of how unfortunate steps have been taken by companies dealing with the government, or government employees dealing with companies, kind of gets spun up to a point where it's cast throughout the whole marketplace. And that's where I think leadership has to set in and address those times that need to be addressed, whether it's internal government or outside government or both. But that, and then move forward. It is a very robust market, and I think to your point, Roger, it's just simplification seems to be a word that I think is just not recognized as a valued word. And I think we all understand that there's going to be a bureaucracy in any large organization, but I think that after a while, that's a red herring. I think it's leadership is really necessary to focus on making things more streamlined, and really on the pricing side. That's always a red herring, whether you're in the schedules program or not. You know, you hear about, you know, low price technically acceptable, or the government's got to get the best price, or the government pays too much. That is not the case in the majority of times. And so I think to cast that the government's not a good buyer, I think is not a correct recognition for contracting officers who strive to do that. And I think the government leadership and putting more pressure on trying to get the lowest price does, you know, was it pound foolish, penny wise, or penny wise, pound foolish, however that goes, Roger?
Yeah, I think it's penny wise, pound foolish.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's creating such a disruption in the marketplace. And it's not a good, some disruptions can be good. I'm not, there's no question about that. But in this case, it's creating a tsunami of bad procurements and putting more hurdles up, I'll put it that, harder to do business with the federal government. And it's driving people away. And I think the government is not the benefactor of that. And I think you're going to see more people leaving the marketplace by the, to your point, Roger, increasing the number of requirements or restrictions or, you know, the data collection, and which has always been a sore spot with me. So it's kind of like the government's trying to collect data from industry that the government generated. So the government should focus on collecting its own data and using it, and then using that data to move forward.
Well, I have a data point now. I have to take a break, Bill. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about data. And I will agree with you. There's power in simplicity. Power and simplicity. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. Bill is the president of the Gormley Group, and he's also the chairman of the board of directors of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Bill, we took a break. You were talking about data, and and I know it's a pet peeve of yours that much of the data the government's now intends to ask for is data that the government's actually generated in terms of, you know, invoices and quantities ordered and that sort of thing. And, what does that ultimately lead to? And, you know, the other, aspect that companies or the private sector is very concerned about or interested in, I guess, maybe, is, you know, what is a complete data set? You know, is price alone, you know, sufficient? What drives price? What are they all collecting? Thoughts?
How long is the show?
Well, we could do ones, two, and three, or four, or whatever.
I mean, I think emotions can run high on this data matter. I think we've heard of MythBusters, right?
Right.
Well, maybe we can categorize this under a MythBuster. Data, you know, I think there's a myth that one could ask a company for certain data, and the company just pushes a button and it comes out in whatever format that requester asked for it. And in this case, the government. So the government's trying to standardize on some data capturing, and the assumption is that whomever they have a contract with can spit this data out in an automated process, and that couldn't be further from the truth. And the government could understand why if they just look at their internal systems, meaning the government systems, and the government can't push a button and everything comes out that they have. If you take their financial system, the government has multiple financial offices and systems, I should say, and you can just matter trying to collect data on how much copier paper they bought in government, but it's there somewhere. Okay. So there's a cost for the government to collect that data internally. And I think, you know, there's no recognition of, and the government has been quick to go ahead and say, well, we'll ask industry to provide us the data. And I think that is, it creates part of this disconnect in a relationship, because you can't, you mentioned earlier, you can't keep piling on which may seem to be an insignificant request or a requirement. And cumulatively, after a while, because data, and I think Roger, you've indicated, is data is not free. And I think that's real important here. And the government is not showing any acknowledgement or recognition of those type of data calls. And that's something that's becoming a real issue within the industry.
Yeah, well, one of the aspects of it, right, when you think about strategic sourcing, much of the strategic sourcing initiatives are built on, you know, driving price down, right? At the same time, asking for more in terms of like data for reporting, amongst other things. And those kind of like, that's kind of a disconnect. I mean, you're asking for all this information, and which costs money to actually be able to manage and produce. At the same time, you're trying to get to to the lowest price you possibly can, which you can never get to the lowest price because there's no such thing, right?
Yeah, there may be some philosophical differences here. I mean, I think in each philosophical belief, I guess, one could stand on and have a good argument. So this is kind of why this is why there's an issue. You have some folks that feel having the data is knowledge, and therefore they can be better buyers. Okay, I'll just say that. Okay,
And that's absolutely
so. That makes sense. It sounds rational. Okay, there's other folks that fall on the side of the marketplace. If particularly if there's a lot of price volatility, the marketplace. You know, when you actually have a requirement and you put it out there, the competitiveness of the market in the totality of doing business. And I'm not going to say it's going to get you the lowest price every time. And I'll also say data collection procurements that come out as a result of data collection does not give the government lowest price all the time, period. So there is no one way to do any of this. But what I will tell you is at the end of the day, over time, time is the test here. The marketplace is what drives the best value for any buyer, whether it's commercial or whether it's government, you know. And, you know, and you have some people who could argue maybe there's too many contracts out there and maybe that keeps out competition too. I know that's probably.
Right. That's fair to say, especially for small businesses, it can be a barrier to entry. You know, the number of contracts that are in place and bid and proposal costs, as we know, are a limited pool. And having those bid and proposal costs and having to pick a contract, if you don't pick wisely and pick the right contract to be on, there goes your bid and proposal resources if you're a small business and you're stuck.
Hey, Roger, I'm sure I made a lot of mistakes when I was a contracting officer.
Bill?
Not intentionally. I mean, I won't get into the details here, but one of the times I felt when we started a new program up that we had a brand name, one of many companies, but a brand name company that was awarded a contract. I'm like, you know, at least now we've established the validity of this program by having top, and it was one of the worst decisions we made, not at the time, but subsequent to the decision to award them the contract. And we end up having them debarred. And so, but you never, the point is, there is no way to evaluate. At the end of the day, the contracting officer has to make a decision. And that decision takes on many interests of its customer. And price, in some cases, if you wait longer, someone can give you maybe a better price, but maybe the customer is going to cost the customer, the contracting officer's customer, a lot of money by waiting. So there's a lot of variables here. You know, contracting's fun, but it's real time. And looking at data is more or less a historical picture. And I think the industry reacts to more of the real time need and is in the time span of how long that need's going to be valid for. And I think that's going to be that's something that fundamentally it would be wonderful for the government to start looking at it differently in that regard and not just be dependent on the data alone.
Okay, so let me ask you.
Do I need to get off my? Can I lower the chair here? I'm getting
all right.
off. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So you can sit down now. Calm down. So the follow up question to that is, so in getting a good deal for the government, I'm not going to say whether it's low price or whatever, but in getting a good deal for the government, what are the keys?
Well, I think one is having for the buyer, the agency, the department to understand that. Until it gets to the point of consolidating its requirements. And if they can't, that's fine. It may cost them a lot of money to consolidate requirements. I mean, to coordinate. I mean, each agency is a huge corporation. So it's not, when people say the government is one entity, you know, I used to be an aircraft mechanic and we used to look on the side of the airplane, had US on it, it meant us, okay?
Right.
And so I used to always say, it's like, hey, it's everybody's individual. We got an electrician here, we got, you know, you got hydraulics, you got all, everybody's independent. Each agency is independent. It's not, they're not one entity. We can talk about the federal marketplace and why we do that typically is because of funding. Funding does not, and even the funding is separate. It has different colors of money. So it's not one customer. and I'm sorry. And so I think trying to aggregate a total government requirement is probably pretty much not worth the time of everybody. And some things have to be bought where there are consumables, and you can get kind of a pace of what the needs are during the course of a year. And that's fine. You know, you do a BPA or something, you get, there's ways to have that, but to wrap and roll up all the government's requirements and say a nice, neat package, that the customer is going to be frustrated. You're going to miss market segments that are very price conscious and timing. And I think the cost of doing that is not measured by the government at all.
Right.
Okay. And so when you talk about, hey, Bill, what's the right procurement? Having valid requirements, laying out when you're, where you, you know, when you need it, where you need it, and then open it up to the marketplace, or open it up to companies who have government contracts, so they don't have to go through a whole new contract expense, to your earlier point. I think at the end of the day, the government will get a very competitive price. And there will be those out there that are like, you know, I paid $25 for this over here, but I paid $11 for it over there. You know what, folks? There's nobody gets the best price. And so get over it and recognize that for the, for maybe that requirement, the $25 was a necessary deal. Maybe they had, maybe they didn't order very many, and maybe, but maybe they needed it. I mean, I bought something off Amazon. And recently for our 95-year-old father-in-law, and we'll get real technical, and he wanted something really bad. So I had next-day delivery. Cost me $26. Amazon got it there. I pretty much did it to see if they could get it there in Iowa, and they did. They got that FedEx truck
pulled
up.
They have a drone there or something?
Yeah, they had a drone. I was waiting for the hamburger to come down. But it was just, the point is you pay for it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And that's okay. And I think that's where we have to back off here a little bit and free the contracting people up and free industry up of some of these, the earlier point, layering on of requirements that I think it's not really adding to the total value here. I think it's nice to say we have all this data. I'm not quite sure what we do with it or what's being done with it.
Right. Well, thank you, Bill. And we do have to take our last break. When we come back, we'll be talking more to Bill Gormley. He's the president of the Gormley Group and chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley, the president of the Gormley Group and chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Bill, so just to finish our conversation, when we had our last break, you were talking about the keys to success. And really what I'm hearing is, it sounds like it's about sound requirements development, communication of the work or the to be performed or the product to be delivered, and volume commitments, and you know, and just making that clear and concise so people can compete intelligently and provide the best deal at that point in time.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
I think the statement of work for services is has to be laid out. And you know what? I'll never forget. I was working with a senior executive for one of the departments when I was in government, Roger, and he was recently in this job that was a very controversial agency. Had gone through quite a few issues in contracting, and particularly in the IT services area and getting things delivered. And I thought he was pretty creative there. He's like, he wasn't putting the requirements out. He was putting the objective out. And I thought it was interesting. He actually cited the funding ceiling and for the line item and asked people to come back with their solutions. And they knew what the budget was. And so it wasn't like they're hiding something. And it made it very competitive. And some of the solutions they got were very intriguing, better than what they could have expected or written a statement of work that would have. So point being is there is no one way to do it, but I think things could be done in many ways and you learn from them. And I think in this case, it exceeded the government's requirements at below, but can you believe it's below budget? That's called the marketplace.
Wow. Wow. I mean, talk to that guy or gal.
Yeah.
Hey, so another thing I wanted to ask you about that's percolating these days is this criticism of multiple award contracts, particularly as somehow being anti-competitive, and I wonder what your thoughts on that are.
Well, sort of ties into some of our earlier discussions on data versus marketplace, but. And here's the deal, if you've gone through the acquisition process for both parties, and you've made a determination of who's getting the award, and you have a number of companies that become what I consider them contract vehicles at that time. So you're basically awarding contract vehicles. And so those contract vehicles are, for the most part, standing by, ready to satisfy or respond to a government requirement, and at a shorter notice than to go through a full-blown procurement. So there's value to having time has been invested. The government has invested its resources to establish those contracts. It's a public announcement going out where it can be a continuous open season. And so those keep the government, you know, I think in lockstep with the marketplace. And so from a competitiveness standpoint, there's no drop off of competition. You have the marketplace is going to, everybody's not going to take the position that, hey, I'm a contractor, so I don't have to be competitive. To go to the next step, you have to be competitive. So you were pretty much technically found acceptable before, and maybe had some price reasonableness around it, but now you have to win it, both from a technical and a pricing standpoint. And I think, although I was a contracting officer for other than the schedules program, believe it or not, but the schedules gives you that robust pricing, robust technology, and also a robust market for all the socioeconomic programs that the government's looking at as well, as large business included.
Right. Well, in the schedules context, it's for most schedules, some are closed, but it's a continuous open season. So to the extent the criticism is that multiple board contracts lock out people, that's not the case in the schedules. But beyond that, you know, it struck me when I heard that, you know, sort of criticism is that, you know, the institutional memory sometimes gets a little whack, because I remember when back in the dark ages, I worked on contracts where you'd award one contract for IT to a company that would last eight. It would be an IDIQ contract that would last 8 years. You talk about anti-competitive, theoretically, when you're talking about indefinite quantity over that period of time where somebody's basically locked up an entire agency's market. You know, there's such a thing as intelligent competition to me, and conversation, like we're having today, but intelligent competition, or, you know, a competitive framework that makes sense to your point about streamlining the overall process. And I think we lose sight of that when, this all of a sudden it's the flavor of the day. We're going to criticize multiple board contracts as somehow, you know, limiting access to the market, And besides that, it seems like many of these contracts are now sort of trying to follow the schedules model by having either on-ramps or open seasons to add additional companies throughout their life.
I don't know. I think sometimes, jealousy is the highest compliment. And I think the schedules program has been around for so long, you know, and there's some perception out there that it's an old program. It's like a car. You can go through it and you can update it, put electronics in it. You can take it any way you want. And, you know, and any acquisition program should continue to be tweaked. And this is probably one of the easiest ones to tweak. And I think to try and overcomplicate how the government buys is costing the government a tremendous amount of money, time, and other resources. And that's how the government can harness its requirements, by having fewer contracts. And yes, there's... there's some folks that can say that that they can get a better deal. No one's at, you can't make the comparison unless you've used the procurement program, the schedules, and then compare it against, you know, open market or other agencies. So yeah, I know it's, you know, some former OPP administrators would say, I think the competition is good. Everybody's out there buying, and I understand. I think we fundamentally, everybody understands it, but I can tell you, we reach a point that I think. We've evolved in many ways in the acquisition area. And, you know, to your earlier point, that we used to have either annual contracts, we went to multi-year, went to, you know, up to 20 years with options. And so it has evolved. And I'm sure, you know, as we look to the future, and with the electronic side of opportunity here, there is a great uplift, so to speak, opportunity for the government to increase, you know, its electronic usage of electronic in contracting. But don't take the person out of it. you know, social media is not going to get you a good deal. It's out there. It's good to have the chatter, but at the end of the day, you want to have negotiators out there. And unfortunately, the way the system's set up now, there's not a lot of negotiation. It's pretty much the government telling industry what they want is a better deal. And a lot of times in that dialogue, you usually say, well, how did you get to that number you're looking for? And the government's not able to say how they did that. And that is a huge, huge disconnect.
Right. Well, Bill, I want to thank you for being on the show. My guest today was Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group and chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And
see you at the show.
Oh, see you at the show. Yeah, November 5th and 6th. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.